Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome back to Author Talk. And today we have with us our own Sabrina Eubanks. And she's going to be telling us about Brooklyn Boys, which is an interesting book. And also it's kind of like a journey into Sabrina's writing. So we're glad to have her here. Welcome, Sabrina. How are you today?
I'm okay, Stephanie. How you doing?
I'm okay. All right, Sabrina. We met in 2013. So
yes,
you've been writing quite a bit. So let's see. So now, Brooklyn Boys, now how did you come about writing that?
Even though I write what's classified as like urban street lit, which I really think is urban contemporary fiction, I had never written a book that was straight up about a drug dealer. And as much as people say they don't want to read about that, I wanted to write about that. So I tried my hand at it.
Okay. So this was a little different than you. So
it's a little bit different.
Yeah. So now, how long did it take you to write Brooklyn Boys?
Brooklyn Boys took me a minute, but I was going through different things. It should have only taken me about maybe 3 months, but it took me a little bit longer because I went through a whole bunch of stuff. And life got the best of me, and it should have been out a long time ago, but it wasn't. I just got it out.
Okay. Okay. Well, it happens that way. Yeah, it does. Okay, Sabrina, you have a storied career. I mean, you wrote so many books. I tried to get them all in the series. It's just impossible. But what out of all your stories, and I know Brooklyn Boys is your last, what is your favorite?
Probably Love and Consequences.
Wow.
And it's my favorite because they evolve.
Mm-hmm.
They evolve. They don't stay the same. Like, they start out as these guys that are, you know, really handsome go-getters and cheaters and this, that, and the other thing. They evolve into something else, though. It's like you kind of watch them mature and grow up.
Okay.
And let go of the things that brought them and made them inferior.
I like
so
that.
So they kind of blossom, but they never have, their lives stay turbulent. They never have a smooth time.
All right, and we readers and writers like that because we don't like a book without a little turmoil, a little drama going on because it keeps us entertained.
Yeah, there's no turmoil and no drama, then it's a dry read. You need to get something up.
I know, you can't even go to the next page. You're like, okay, this is it, I'm done.
Never mind, you know.
Okay, so you did that, and Sabrina's going to be reading for us shortly, but I still want to ask her a couple more questions. All right, so you did that one. And now, in Brooklyn Boys, what's your favorite character?
My favorite character in Brooklyn Boys is a tie between Cuddy, whose real name is Justin Wild, and his brother Tony, who's called Crush. It's a tie because Cuddy is really a mean guy, you know what I mean? But and I can't even say his heart is in the right place because it's probably really not, you know? But his brother's a little bit different than him, even though they call him Crush for a reason. And I'll get into that in the next book. But they call him Crush for a reason, but he's got a soft core. So they contrast each other. But I think I would say that maybe Crush is my favorite. Because he does have feelings.
Okay. I love your title and I love your cover.
Thank you.
Right, when you call in, I always sell your book. So, is it on Amazon? I know that. Now, are you also on Nook?
No, I'm not on Nook. Right now, I have it in Kindle Unlimited. So, it's only on Amazon right now. But shortly, I want to put it in paperback. It might not always be on Kindle Unlimited. I'm trying my hand now and publishing myself. So that's my first book that I published myself.
Okay. Very
and I'm
good.
Still trying to get the feel for it and, you know, the marketing. I'm an author. I'm not, you know, a business person per se. But, you know, you learn the ropes as you go along. So I'm still trying to find the niche where it's in how to make the book, you know, prosper.
Okay. And callers, if you want to talk to Sabrina, then push 1 and I'll bring you into the conversation. Push 1 on your phone and I'll bring you into the conversation. Okay, so, but to be honest with you, the authors that seem to publish themselves do a lot better. You have a lot of followers. I was reading a lot of your reviews for your books.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're going to find out that this might be a good venture for you to be publishing yourself, because this way you don't have to share your profits with anybody but you.
Oh man, I ain't gonna touch that.
I kind of danced around that because I don't want everybody getting upset, but that's the bottom line. When you do it yourself,
it
you don't want anybody.
That's true. But you still got to learn how to what works, you know. And I was so busy writing all the time that I did pay attention. But I kind of paid attention through my peripheral vision, you know. I said, okay, that works, okay, you know. But it's a learning process. And this book started off a little bit slow, but it picked up. But I think it's because I dropped it with no fanfare. I just dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's probably what, you know, kind of not stalled it, but, you know, nobody knew about it. Until I advertised it. So maybe if I had took a moment and put some fanfare in there, then maybe, you know, it would have came out the gate a little bit better. But it did pretty good for first release, actually.
Okay. Well, I'm not bragging, but a lot of people that come on my show, they get a lot of followers. So hopefully this will work for you.
I hope
so. Right, and
I hope so. I try to write a good book. I try.
Just so you know how they do it is I send you the link after the show and you forward it to people and that's how you get them. Okay?
Not a problem. Thank you very much.
All right. Sabrina, I've been waiting on you to read from your book.
Okay.
So, you promised me some action and that's what I'm looking for.
It's full of curses, though, because this is my drug dealer book, you know. So it's kind of got some real street feel to it. I'm not going to read for that long, but I'm going to read a very intense scene.
Okay.
Let me know when you're ready. You want me to start now?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. All right. When Cuddy got into his car, he was still feeling the effects of his encounter with Vanessa Savoy, but he started pushing her out of his mind as soon as he slid behind the wheel. He hadn't been surprised when he heard her say she loved him, or by the fact that she said it when she thought he was out of earshot. He had been a bit surprised at himself that he'd even acknowledge the fact that he'd heard her. She laid that sweet shit on me so hard I didn't want to leave. I could have stayed up in that all night. Matter of fact, this shit here is the only reason why I left her chocolate ass. I might have to leave Ness alone. She's too much for me. She's too much for me to be feeling right now. Thoughts of Vanessa turned to malignant thoughts of Cicero Thomas as he drove down Gates Avenue, glancing in his rear view. That nigga was slick, and Cuddy had to give him props for trying his best to get the jump on them. He stopped at a light and got Tony on the phone and discovered that he and Josie had to put down a few of Cicero's dogs. When Tony asked what the next move was, Cuddy told him to meet him at their apartment, and if there were any lurkers laying in the cut, dispatch them post haste. Dustin hadn't thought Cicero had the balls to bring it as hard as he obviously had. He thought Cicero was well on his way to being the washed up fuck up. He thought he was the only real gangster lean that nigga had was from getting shot in the leg when he was on the come up many years ago. Cuddy had underestimated Cicero, but he was far from being afraid. If that bastard wanted to come for him, let him come. But after they killed all his little minions, he better get his ass on the plane and fly the fuck out of New York, because that was the only thing that could possibly save his ass. Cicero may be proving he wasn't the pussy Cuddy thought he was, but he was still going to die like a bitch. Justin made a right off Gates and parked his car on Marcy Avenue, not wanting to put himself in a position to be ambushed by driving directly home. He got out with his gun convenient enough to reach for it and his knife in his right hand. If anybody decided they wanted to jump out of the windows, out of the shadows on him, he was putting his blade straight in their heart and twisting it. He started walking toward Quincy Street like he didn't have a care in the world, daring a nigga to step to him. Cuddy thought he would make it all the way home without incident, even though he was expecting trouble, because those niggas Cicero sent for him waited until he got right on Quincy Street to make their move. Their delayed assault didn't shake him. He actually caught their furtive movement from the corner of his eye as he walked past the schoolyard at the end of the block. Cuddy didn't break his stride, but he did open his long black overcoat so he could put his right hand on the grip of his gun. His knife felt good in his hand, and he smiled a little as two men came out of a hole in the fence of the schoolyard, walking fast behind him. Cuddy looked up the block and saw a dark figure approaching him, walking just as fast as the men at his back, and his smile got bigger. Cuddy hadn't had doubts to begin with, but he knew for certain the sight of Shade coming at him left no room for this shit to go to the left. Cuddy slowed down and cocked his head, pretending he was suddenly aware of and intimidated by the sound of the quick footfalls behind him that had picked up their pace at their spotting of Shade. Cuddy listened to the sound of their feet and knew that rushing him and Shade was on their minds. Stopped walking abruptly and turned around so fast, Cicero's boy didn't even have the chance to get his gun up before Cuddy grabbed him by the collar and slammed his knife into his chest so hard he heard the bone crack as his knife slipped between his ribs. His eyes widened in frightened shock at the realization that his life had just reached its end. He didn't live through his next breath as Cuddy turned his knife, splintering the bone, and pulled it out of his body. When he hit the concrete with his final splash of gore, Cuddy stepped over him and went for his partner, who had his gun in his hand and was very intent on shooting Cuddy in the face at close range. Cuddy ducked and winced away from the bullet as it seemed a little too close to his temple for comfort. And when he came back up, his knife was deep in the soft flesh just above the man's navel. He howled in fury and pain, and Cuddy gazed into his eyes as he smelled the dude's bowels turn to water and let loose. Cuddy drug his knife up, sawing the blade as he went, staring at him and watching him scream. He pushed his filthy ass away and watched him hit the ground near his freshly departed friend with his mouth turned down in disgust. Damn, Cuddy, your ass is crazy. Got that nigga laying there with his fucking guts on the goddamn ground. Shit, man. He smells like fucking shit, man. Shade was half laughing when he talked, but Cuddy could tell by the slight hysteria that shook his timber that what he was looking at was fucking with his head. I've seen you blow niggas' brains out, Gavin. There ain't no worse than that. Come on, let's break out and go find Tony and Josie. I don't want Cicero's ass to see daylight. Cuddy turned to walk away, but Shade was still on pause, looking down at the two men Cuddy had just put down. Come on, man. It's going to be hot over here in a minute. Okay?
Wow. I like that. I can visualize that. While you were reading
Cuddy
it.
Cuddy ain't no joke. That's a mean guy. He's got the last scene in the book. Oh, my God. A friend of mine read the last scene, and she was like, oh, my God. She said, do you sleep at night? A little bit. Not much.
I'm sitting there, and while you're reading, I can visualize the whole scene. That was really good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Now, Sabrina, you've been writing for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And you told me what your favorite book was. Now, which one was the hardest book that you wrote? And why?
Chasing Bliss. Chasing Bliss, because Chase Brown is insane. But I had to make him likable, and I had to make him human, you know. But he's certifiable. You can lock him up in a rubber room because he's psychotic. He really is, but it takes a lot to bring it out of him. And then sometimes he's a complex character. And in order to write something like that, you have to research mental illness. So he's a little bit hard to write. And he actually evolved into what he was, because when I first started writing him, he was just a thug. because he came from a book called Hard Rock Heaven that I was working on when I was 15. And he just evolved into who he is now. But I think he's probably my most interesting character because he has so many saving graces, but he's so terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But I like him. I think that was the hardest book.
Most new writers don't do. And you said research.
Mm-hmm.
Because I read a lot of books.
You have to research to make it plausible. If it's not plausible, then, you know, I got a review for this book that said it wasn't plausible. I was like, this is my 18th title. You know what I mean? Not for nothing. But I'm not going to hand you some garbage. You know what I mean? But it's okay because opinions are like, you know, everybody got one. And you have to respect people in their opinion, you know. You ain't going to please everybody with everything you write.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
You can try.
But you do want to write a book.
Please everybody.
Yeah, but you know, you should write a book that's relatable.
Mm-hmm.
And that the writer, you know, the reader will enjoy.
Yeah, and you can't take it so far out of context that it's not believable, you know.
Yeah, I've seen
but
quite a few of those.
You have people, though, Stephanie, that don't like the book because it didn't go the way they wanted it to. I get a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
I got a lot of that with Love and Consequences, the first one. They say, oh, I hated this book because of what she did to the heroine. I was like, well, she wasn't the star of the show. She had to, you know, it is what it is, you know. And who loves a happy ending? Life is not full of happy endings, you know?
No, it's not.
The bitter with the sweet. And sometimes heartbreak can lead you to pure joy sooner or later. I messed that up.
That's true. That's very true.
That's right.
I agree. I totally agree with you. So that was your hardest one and whatever. Now, do you have another one coming up?
I got a lot of stuff coming up. I got writing a book now called Just My Type. And it's kind of a thug love story. It's going to be kind of in the same vein as Brooklyn Boys. And that should be out pretty soon in the spring. It should come out.
Okay.
And it should be a trilogy. But I'm going to write that book. I got to write the second part of this book. I want to write Killer Weekend. I'm working on that. Killer Weekend is the story of, I don't know if you read Boosters, but Boosters was my story about the jewel thief. And he was banished to Europe because he killed his friends. He killed his friends. But this is how he comes back to New York, Killer Weekend. So I'm going to finish writing that book. Hopefully I could drop that before the year is over. And then there's Love and Consequences 6. Because they ain't going to let me just stop at 5. So I'm going to give it up.
No.
The characters ain't going to let me stop at 5. So.
I know. You just get hooked on your characters, and they don't ever want you to leave. You know, they don't want the characters to leave, but eventually they have to leave.
Eventually you have to let them, you know, dip out and ride into the sunset. It's rather to leave them high than to play them out and everybody's tired of them, you know. So I think, you know, maybe one more book, and then I'll draw conclusions and bring everybody down. And that's like a little dream of mine, to write a trilogy at the end of the day and settle the score with all of my characters, because they always stay in each other's books. So that's probably how it ends.
Okay.
And then I'll write the book you have to read to get out of high school.
Now, do you? Okay, do you have beta readers to read your story before you send them out, or
sometimes
put them out?
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to put out a book and you think it's good because you wrote it. Because you get used to reading yourself. You know what I mean? And you can't just assume that it's okay because you wrote it. You have to run it past somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, sometimes I do. I ran Brooklyn Boys by a couple of people before I dropped it. I didn't just drop it. So they said it was okay. So the other books, I didn't really run them past anybody, though. the Love and Consequences books. I just dropped them.
Mm-hmm. But now you're up to number six, so somebody likes it out there.
Oh, they love Lucas and Noah. Those are the narcotics cops. You know, they love Lucas and Noah. So, and I love Lucas and Noah. And Noah's probably my favorite character, but, you know, out of all of my books. Because I think he's evolved the most. He's changed the most.
I think you always had that one character that wanted to leave.
But then again, has he really changed? We'll see. That's why I got to write part six. See if he really changed. Because he could say he did, but that's
all
true,
right,
you
see.
Know.
That's
maybe
true.
He did, maybe he didn't. We'll see.
All right, caller 501, do you want to talk to Sabrina?
Yes, I do. How are you, ladies?
Hello.
Okay,
hey, this
how
is Yvonne Jefferson. Hey, Sabrina.
Who's this?
Yvonne.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I could be better. I'm battling a little cold, but I'm all right.
Oh, you need to go. You're going to have to get over that. Because did I just hear you say Love and Consequences 6?
Oh, sure. Yes, you did. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
It's coming, but I can't tell you exactly when it's going to drop. I'm hoping, like, around the holidays, because that's always good around the holidays. But,
yeah.
I'm trying to get that for y'all. And I also don't talk about it a lot, but I'm trying to get the cutting room together for y'all. But I got to really work on that. I will not drop that unless it's flawless. That's the end of the Chase and Bliss series.
Well, I just had to call and show my love. Sabrina is by far my favorite. We go back to her first book. And whether it's ebook or, and even if it's ebook and paperback, I'm doing both because I just love her that much. Love her work.
Thank you.
Love the way she make her characters so alive to where, I mean, I feel like I know every last one of them. So, and she's very personable. We have book reviews and everything. So it's just a really great experience. So I just wanted to call in and say how much I love you and wish you ladies a great evening.
I love you too. Thank you very
Thank
much.
You for calling.
Oh, you are so welcome, Sabrina. I left work early so I could make sure I got here.
Wow.
So.
See, my folks ride deep. My folks go back with me like bucket seats. Y'all are the best.
Yeah.
I love y'all.
Yeah, Sabrina have a lot of ride or dies, so we're here.
Thank you very much. I love
y'all.
Just
wanted to check it. Love you guys. All right, take care. And thanks for having her
you
on.
Too.
I really enjoyed listening.
No problem. She'll be back, so look out.
Yeah, I always come back for Stephanie, always.
Good deal. Just let us know when. You know, I'll do what I can to get there.
No problem.
All right. Thank you, ladies.
Yeah,
have a good one. Get better, Sabrina. Get over that cold.
I'm trying. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Caller 336. Do you want to talk to Sabrina tonight?
Yes, I do.
Who is this?
Hey, welcome to the show.
Hey, y'all. It's Devin.
Hey, what's up, girl? How
hey,
you doing?
Hey, Sabrina.
What's up, girl? How you doing?
Nothing. I was just calling in to show my support.
Thank you for calling the check for me. I appreciate that. I really
no
do.
No problem.
Is there anything you want to ask me?
No, you know, if I have a question, I'll be in your inbox early.
Mm-hmm. Just no posting like that post you did this morning, okay?
Okay. I got to keep y'all on y'all P's and Q's and keep them turned up, you know?
Girl, please, okay? You messed my whole world up with that. I was like, I almost ran out of my job. Stephanie, I know you out the loop. She posted a picture of a mouse in a cup of coffee that somebody had drank out of. And I almost ran out of my job. I was like,
It was pretty hilarious. I had to share it. I have to share my world with y'all, so I have to
you
post what I see.
You still in the corner, okay?
I'm in the corner.
The admin of my readers group, Stephanie. Devin is the admin in my readers group.
Well, she was just trying to keep you on your toes this morning.
Yes,
that's what she was doing.
She said it with love, but she don't know how me and Rats just don't get down. We just don't.
I don't either.
You don't got love for Mickey, but it's okay.
No, not me and Mickey. We don't get down like that. Not at all. Still feel a little certain way. You still in the corner.
I stay in the corner, but it's all right, though. I'm going to break out one of these days. Well, I break out every day.
All right. Thank you for calling and supporting me, Deb. I love you.
She's going to be back on, so listen out and come back and join us again.
I stop this textbook. Because I'm going to call you, Stephanie, and ask you if I can be on your show.
Yeah. Hey, all you got to do is ask me. I'm always on Facebook sometime. I may not be visible, but I'm usually there. So
wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, I would love for you to come back on, Sabrina. I've been trying to get on you, and I've just been super busy with a lot of people, but I'm going to start switching out what I do. So, I'll tell you that.
Anytime you ask me, I will always come. Okay, that's a promise. You always show me love. I appreciate it.
I appreciate that. And I was like, okay, I got to get Sabrina on the show, and I need her because I love people that write good books. And believe it or not, I do a lot of shows, and everybody don't write good books. Well, not get mad at me, but that's the truth. So
I ain't got nothing to say.
I shouldn't say nothing either, but I'm bad like that. So
I'm
going to
totally leave a lot of stuff alone. I'm leaving a lot of stuff alone and untouched.
I know. I try to stay out of it, but
it is what it is.
It is what it is. And
if I had known that the industry was like it is, I don't know if I would have published everything.
That's what a lot of people are saying.
I don't know if I would have done that. It's crazy. It really is.
You know, a lot of people are just going, we got one more caller before the end of the show.
Okay.
All right. We got 50188. Do you want to ask Sabrina a question before the show ends tonight?
I'm just a listener, and I'm enjoying myself.
Well, thank you for calling in.
Thank you for
listening. It's always good to have those. Isn't that nice?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we are going to have Sabrina when your next book comes out. She's going to contact me. She's going to be on the show. Sabrina, is there one thing you want the readers and listeners to know about you before we go off there?
Well, not necessarily nothing that they already don't know. I always promise I try to give you all 100%, you know? And regardless of what goes on, how it gets, you know, and I'm not going to stop writing, even though I thought about it. But I thought about it again, and I said, what are you doing? You know? So, here to stay, basically. I'm here to stay. And I might not drop them as often as you want, but I'm going to drop them. And I'll try to always give you my all.
Okay, and, you know, just so glad to have you on the show and have your wonderful readers join us tonight. It's a blessing to have you guys with us. Like I said, Sabrina will be back, and she will be contacting me for her next book. I look for all of you ladies to join us again. And
yes,
Brooklyn Boys is a must-buy. Get it on Amazon.com. And support Sabrina. All right, I want to thank each one of you tonight for coming to join the show. After Talk, we'll be back on a week from Monday, and I'll have Alita Hodges with us, Dangerously in Love. All right. I want to thank you, Sabrina, for coming.
Thank you
for having me.
And
look forward to you coming back.
I'll be back very soon.
I know you will. I'll be contacting you.
Not a problem.
Thank you.
All right. Much love,
I'm going to drop the link in. Okay, I'm going to drop the link in your box so you can share it with your listeners, okay?
And okay, thanks so much.
Thank you, too. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.